Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
For my most important part of the message, Mason said to his mother, "You can delete the train set from my Christmas wish list." The mother said, "Why is that?" Mason said, "Yesterday I found one in your closet." Uh-oh. Anybody had that happen to you? What makes a candy cane a collector's item? It is in mint condition. There you go. All right. So last month we talked about Shalom and the Prince of Peace. And I encourage you, if you are feeling a lack of peace this Christmas season, to go listen to the podcast. You can find it right on the website. But we spent 4 weeks diving into Shalom and what that actually looks like, the wholeness of God, the healing power of God. And I have to admit, I had a really hard time stopping talking about Shalom. Like, I just wanted to talk about it again today, but we're not going to talk about it. But the Advent Bible study on YouVersion, and if you want to get a hard copy of it, it's at the Hub. So if you don't like apps, you can just pick one up there on the way out. It's all about peace this week. So if you want more peace, you can get more peace through the Advent Bible study. But that's what we spent last month talking about. But as I said, we're going to be talking about our own Christmas story and unwrapping the gifts that God has for us, like Paul and Silas and the jailer who got saved, like Pastor Caleb talked about last week. But according to the Guinness Book of World Records, on December 3rd, 2022, in Australia, people made the longest line of wrapped presents. So they broke the world record. It was 1,050 of wrapped gifts, all in a straight line. I guess it had to be a straight line for some reason. And no one has broken that record since. Maybe there's a record being broken today or last week to move that up. So it's 1,051. I could volunteer our church, but I think that we have better things to do with our time. But I would like to propose to you that there is a much bigger line of wrapped gifts that is breaking the Guinness Book of World Records. And it sits in our chairs every Sunday. It sits in your home. And the gifts lie in the challenges that you face, but you can't see them. We have a much longer line of wrapped gifts, and that's what we're going to unwrap today. So our key verse, which if you are doing the Bible version, the YouVersion Bible study, this was the verse for today. I opened up the app this morning and my jaw dropped because it is also the verse we're talking about today. Also, Pedro, you preached my first version of this sermon, so thank you. And Caleb, you preached the end of the sermon. So we are off to a great start. Very efficient morning. Everyone's listening to Jesus today. All right, Romans 8:19 is where we are going to start here. But it's our key verse for the whole month. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Everyone say revealed. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until the present time. Anyone feel the groans and the pain of childbirth right now around us in our world? And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Anybody getting older, ready for a new body, right? Sign me up, right? So for creation waits an eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. That word revealed means uncover, or you could maybe say unwrapped in some message translation maybe, right? So all of creation is waiting for the children of God to be unwrapped. So every morning, creation is waiting like Christmas morning for us to say, no, I'm going to unwrap who I am in Christ. I'm not going to let it be hidden. I'm going to unwrap what God has for me today. I'm not just going to let it be hidden. How would Christmas go if you left all the gifts under the tree wrapped? You're like, wow, this is so amazing. Thank you for these gifts. And you just let them be. Wouldn't that be an awkward morning? That'd be a great trick to play on like your in-laws or something. Like, no, this is how we celebrate Christmas. We just leave everything wrapped, right? That's not that. What would the point be, right? We are actually supposed to unwrap our gifts to have a Christmas. And some of us this morning haven't had a Christmas with Jesus yet because he's given us everything there is to give. He's given us eternal life and peace and presence. He will never leave us or forsake us. But we've just kind of left him there wrapped. And he's saying, will you unwrap me? Will we actually be an active relationship with each other? Can we actually do life together? Don't just leave me there and just be grateful that I'm there, right? Is that making sense? Whatever the wrapping paper you are dealing with this month, God has a gift for you in it. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I think I have a correction there. I apologize. Our key verse is not Romans 8. I think I had the same reference twice, so I apologize for that. But Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, everyone say all things, work together for good for those who love him and who have been called, everyone say called, according to his purpose. If you were here two Sundays ago, you may have heard like 10 phones start ringing. It was the most awkward thing that has ever happened when I've been preaching. I think it was literally 10. We had like three alarms. It was all on this side. Three alarms went off, and then phones started going off. And I was like, can we just like maybe silence our phones? And after I say that, another phone went off. I was like, what is Jesus saying here? I didn't know what to do, right? And I just pray that that doesn't happen this morning. But we are called, right? So say called. So we're going to first talk about what it means to be called. Because in order to know that you have a gift, you have to know that the gift has your name on it, right? And some of us have, our life has gifts that have been wrapped by all things wrapping paper. That's what I'm calling it this morning. So can we just say all things? Because it says all things, we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So we've got a lot of all things covering up gifts in our lives. Some of us have marriages covered in all things, or we have situations that are crises, but there's an all things wrapping paper that's wrapping the whole situation up, and all we can see are all the things. Anybody see all the things right now? But if we were to unwrap all the things, we would find what God has for us underneath that's good. You following? So number one this morning, we're going to unpack this, is don't put your ringer on silent. All right? Who have been called according to his purpose. Have you ever gotten the wrong number? Anyone ever called you and it's the wrong number? I'm going to share the most awkward moment of my life, one of the most awkward moments of my life. So I was a lot younger. This was like maybe 12, 15 years ago, and probably about 12. And I had my phone, and I got this text message from a guy that I knew. And I opened it up, and it was a guy I had been friendly with, and he'd been friendly with me for a while, and he's asking me out, all right? Now, first off, it was by text, and no, I'm not going to say the name, but it was by text, so it's like, okay. But he was asking me out. It had been years, so I thought, wow, this guy's asking me out. But then something in my heart was like, nah, this is not for me. This isn't meant for me. There was nothing in the text message that said it wasn't for me, but I just knew, like, he's not going to ask me out. So I write back, and I say, is this for me? And the poor guy had sent the text to the wrong girl. We are still friends to this day by the grace of God, but he had sent it to the wrong girl. Yes. Oh, Jesus. So that was a fun moment. And guess what? He had the wrong number. Some of us have been called by God and we think God got the wrong number. We see that, you know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And some of us are like, no, goodness and mercy got the wrong number. They don't know my name. I haven't actually been called by God. My phone might keep ringing. People might keep showing up in my life that represent his goodness and his mercy, but I can't receive them because I think that God got the wrong number. Are you following? And if we don't know we are called, we will never receive the gifts and unwrap what God has for us in every season of our lives. Luke 2:8-9 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. My question is, for those of you who know you are called and chosen by God, when did you get the call? Were you on a 40-day water fast out in the wilderness? Maybe a monastery, a nunnery, right? If that's your story, you can talk to Pastor Tom because he has definitely done those water fasts and had encounters with porcupines and all sorts of weird stuff before he knew Jesus. But for most of us, we are going to encounter the call in a very practical day-to-day, even maybe mundane way, right? So who works the overnight shift? Anyone work the overnight shift here? Got one? God bless you. I think the other people, yeah, I know there are a couple other overnight shift people here. All right, I see a hand back there. God bless you. I don't know how you do it. But did you know that the shepherds, they got the call on their overnight shift, right? It says the shepherds were fasting and praying in church on a Sunday morning and an angel showed up. Is that what it says? Not exactly, right? The shepherds were living out, first of all, they were living in the fields. That's rough, right? Keeping watch over their flocks at night. They had the overnight shift. God has the right number for you and he knows your schedule. And the call of God, when you actually realize you are loved, you are seen, you are valued, you are worth it, you might not even encounter that for the first time in a church. It might be in your home when you're doing dishes. It might be when you're at work. It might be wherever it is. But God likes to call us at home, at school, at work, and at church. Are you following? I love this scripture in Isaiah 43. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you and I have summoned you by name and you are mine. That word called also means invited and named. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. For I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When Mary got the call in Luke 1:38, it says, Mary answered the angel, I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you have said to me happen. I know about you, but when God calls, sometimes our response isn't quite like Mary's, right? Maybe it's a little bit more like the shepherds in our workplace, and we're wondering what's actually going on. But how and if we respond to the call of God in our lives matters. It matters. But he can call in every situation. In Psalm 34, he can call when you're brokenhearted and crushed by life. In Isaiah 41, he can call when you are afraid and feeling weak. In 1 Corinthians 14, he can call when you are confused. In Exodus 14, he can call when you can't fight the battle anymore. But in order to hear the call, we need to not put our phone on silent. Have you ever popped your phone onto airplane mode by mistake and then wonder why no one likes you anymore because no one's calling you? Anybody ever done that? I've done that before and I'm like, wow, this is a great day. Like nobody called, no, there are no issues, everything's going great. And then I flip airplane mode off and it's like bing, 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 right? And I'm like, oh no, I'm a pastor and I put my phone on airplane mode. What did I do, right? Sometimes in life, when life gets hard, it's easy for our hearts to try to put on airplane mode because we don't want to actually feel God's love. We don't deserve it. We feel like if I reject God before he rejects me, I'm safe. Maybe we don't think that out, but that's actually what we're doing. We're saying, you know what? I don't feel worthy of God's attention or his goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. So I'm gonna switch my heart onto airplane mode. The problem is we can't really do that, but we do try to do that. And we can numb out the presence of God in our lives. But it says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand and I and my Father are one. There was a time in my life when I was really struggling and I felt kind of tormented and oppressed. And I would hold on to the scripture for dear life that nothing can snatch me out of my Father's hand, that I am called. I am called. He called me. I am loved. I am chosen and I'm in my Father's hand and nothing can snatch me out of my Father's hand. And sometimes the call of God in our lives looks like we're just holding on to that until we realize that God is actually holding on to us because nothing can snatch us out of his hand, right? But there's some ways to know we are called, and these are just simple ways. But how many know sometimes if they're simple, it doesn't mean that we always do them, right? If you're struggling to know you are called this morning, get into the Psalms and go on a journey and just start reading the Psalms until you land on a verse that stands out to you. King David had a way of, and all the other Psalm authors had a way of just expressing their emotions and their struggles, but not staying there. And so if you're struggling with that, just get into the Psalms and start reading. Another way to do it is to find a Bible hero in the Bible that is going through something like you're going through. Maybe it's a loss, maybe it's a relational struggle, maybe it's an identity struggle. Whatever it is, you can find someone in the Bible. If you don't know who it is, you can ask a pastor or a friend. And then you can do a Bible study and you start reading, well, how did they respond to God? How did God show his love and his redemption in their life? And that's a really powerful way to know you are called. The other way, of course, is to pray and to worship. And then, of course, to get into community and not do life alone. But another way is through relationship. 1 Corinthians 4 says, For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We know we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Everyone say clay jars. So on average, it takes 20 tons of dirt to extract 1 ounce of gold. Anyone want to sign up to be a gold miner? Not really anymore, right? So I was trying to figure that out. What does that mean? Unless you work in tons and ounces, you don't really have an idea. It's the weight of a full city bus loaded to an adult white-footed mouse. I have no idea, but when I Googled 1 ounce, that's what I got. So it's the little white mouse on a giant loaded bus, or a pencil, if mice make you kind of cringe, right? So it's like you're trying to find a pencil or a little tiny mouse on a loaded city bus. That's what you do when you actually are mining for gold, unless there's like a giant gold rush moment, right? That's a big difference. But when you go gold mining, you aren't going dirt mining, right? You don't say, well, I'm going to go out and dirt mine. And you talk about all the dirt, you find the little piece of gold and you don't even remember all the dirt, right? And yet in our lives, it's easy to call ourselves by all the dirt that we're seeing instead of the little nugget of identity in Christ, even if it seems like a little tiny mustard seed, depending on what we're going through. Some of us today walked in with 20 tons of dirt on our head, or maybe in our relationships or our finances or our health or a work situation, and we feel 20 tons of dirt. We're just carrying it around. And God says, first, lay your burdens down, because my burden is easy, right? But second, stop calling yourselves or calling the situation by the dirt and start asking, where is the nugget of gold? That makes sense? One of the biggest ways we can know we are called is to affirm the gold in our own identity, but also in each other's identity. Is our conversations at home, at church, at workplaces, talking more about the dirt or the clay jars or the treasure God is giving to us in our lives, right? We all are like fragile clay jars. We all are like kind of like a wrapped box, but God doesn't want us to talk about the all things wrapping paper. He wants us to unwrap it to see the treasure that he's placed inside. And he wants us to call ourselves and call each other by that. How many know that's a little bit hard? It sounds all nice, like, oh, let's be encouraging. But then when you really deal with something, you're like, oh, I got to bite my tongue, or I'm going to talk more about dirt and clay jars than about any kind of treasure because I can't see anything, right? Anybody with me, or is that just me this week? Okay, that was definitely my week for me in my life. And I had to bite my tongue and actually kind of repent to Jesus. I thought, I talked a little bit more about dirt and clay jars. It says in Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. We need to affirm each other to know we are called. We actually discount the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life when we glorify the earthen vessel more than the treasure of salvation at work in them. We actually discount what God wants to do in their life when we're glorifying more about the dirt than about what God's doing. And it hits real close to home when you start bringing that into your relationships, into parenting situations, marriages, coworker situation, teacher, professor, whatever the relationship is, asking God, God, who did you make them to be? I know that's a simple question, it's a simple message, but it is a life-changing message if you just wrap your mind around it, because it is the heart of God for humanity. That's what we're actually talking about. But once you know you are called, you can start to unwrap the gift. So who loves to buy crazy wrapping paper? Anybody like the crazy wrap? Nobody. Okay. Everybody's just boring, elegant wrapping paper. Brown wrapping paper. Anyone brown wrapping paper? My man. Okay, here we go. Well, I was in Venice a while ago, a long time ago when I was young, and I got to go to a Venetian, I would imagine, a Venetian wrapping paper. I guess it wasn't wrapping paper, it was just a paper shop. But let me tell you, the Italians know how to do paper. And when I came back here, it's like all the paper here is just like, why are we even using it, right? But it was this gorgeous wrapping paper. And I did buy a couple of sheets of paper. I think I still have them because I was too afraid to do anything with them. They were kind of expensive and I didn't want to wrap anything with them. But how many know in our lives we don't get to choose the wrapping paper? We don't really get to choose how things show up all the time, right? And we do get to choose whether we will unwrap it or not, right? So in Acts 16, Paul and Silas chose to unwrap God's gift of eternal freedom wrapped in a prison cell. Who would have ordered that wrapping paper? Probably not from Venice, right? How about in Ruth? Ruth chose to stay and unwrap the grief of the death of her husband to find God's provision for eternal life for humanity in her next season, right? She's the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. She chose to actually unwrap that grief and say, no, God, you will be my God, right? I'm going to follow Naomi. In Genesis 36, Joseph chose to unwrap the provision of food for a nation that was wrapped up by the rejection of his own family. Who would have ordered that kind of wrapping paper? Oh yeah, I'm going to actually choose to stay and unwrap the bitterness and resentment that is wrapping up my life right now so that I can give a gift to the very people that wrapped up my life, right? How about in Luke 2 or Matthew 28, the deliverer for all of humanity chose to unwrap his salvation that was wrapped up by a tombstone, and then, of course, by a manger and kind of a messy stable, right? How about that for wrapping paper? That's some all things work together wrapping paper. How about Corrie Ten Boom? She chose to unwrap the gift of forgiveness and reconciliation that was wrapped up by extreme persecution and trauma. Some of us walked in wrapped up in things, and we actually feel justified being wrapped up in it because it was done to us. Some of us got wrapped. Some of us walked in and life has wrapped you up. And you feel like your mind is wrapped. Maybe you feel like you're in bondage this morning, but I'm here to remind you that Jesus is our deliverer and he works all things together for good. So if we can actually choose him and know we are called, we are loved, we are seen, he will start to unwrap the all things and something good will start to be revealed. It's easy to miss the extraordinary when it's hidden in the mundane circumstances of our life, or even the negative or the traumatic circumstances. And of course, sometimes it's not good for us to start to unwrap that alone. We need a pastor, we need a professional, maybe a Christian therapist, to help us unwrap to see what God is doing in the midst. Let's ask the shepherds in Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Everyone just is, you kind of all are like, yep, we've heard that for the millionth time. But when the shepherds heard this, they were like, all right, we're going to go find a Savior. That's awesome, right? How many, wouldn't that be great? How about a Messiah? That's even better, right? The Messiah, that's fantastic. And then he's in a manger. Wait, what? What's going on here, right? And when you've heard the story 1,000 times, you're like, of course he was in a manger. Where else were they going to find him, right? But these shepherds were not expecting that end of the statement to happen. And when God has good gifts for you, you're like, that's awesome. God's got surely goodness and mercy. You're going to follow me. This is great, right? And they're eternal gifts. That's even better, right? Nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. This is looking great. And then you're going to find the gifts in the messiest spaces and the most vulnerable places of your life. Wait a second. Hold on, I was tracking with you, just like the shepherds, the Savior, the Messiah in a manger, right? Surely goodness and mercy and God's favor and redemption and grace in the messiest, most vulnerable places of our lives. If God chose to show his son to give the greatest gift of all humanity through the messiest, most vulnerable way of a baby in a manger, why do we think he would do it another way for us today? Why do we think that? And yet so oftentimes when we're in those vulnerable, messy places, we want to be like the innkeeper and say, there's no room for you, Jesus. I'm all full up. There's no more room. I have no more room in that situation for you. There's no more room here. There's no more room here. But the wonderful thing about our Savior is that again and again and again, he will find any space, no matter how big it is, to bring his redemption, the Messiah, for us. Amen? Have you ever had a crazy big gift that was all wrapped up and then you unwrap it and it's this little tiny thing? Anyone have a cruel person in your family or a friend? No, just me. Well, okay, there we go. A couple years ago while we were still dating and we did get married, I'm almost done here, Brian gave me this giant box and I was legitimately very excited. And then I unwrapped it and it got a little smaller. And then I unwrapped it and it got a little smaller and a little smaller. It was not him proposing, don't get excited. It was an exercise wristband. Thank you, Caleb. If you know Brian, you're like, wow, that sounds like Brian. If you know me, that does not sound like me. It was this chunky, I got a tiny wrist. It was this chunky, I had to be like, wow, that was so sweet of you, honey, right? Because I thought he was giving me something big, and it was this little tiny thing. In the end, it was great, kept me healthy. It was good, kept me alive for a year, tracking all my vitals. But if you have anxiety, don't get one. I'm just going to put that out there. But what was wrapped inside didn't look like what was outside, right? And some of us have discounted the gifts that God is giving us right now because what our circumstances are looking like don't look like they can produce anything that we would ever want. That makes sense? Some of us think that what we're going to unwrap is horrible and is awful and is actually going to destroy us when God says, no, that's the wrap. Take off the all things wrapping paper. I'm working all things together for your good. If you'll just stop to unwrap it. See, in the kingdom, suffering produces a gift of hope. Weakness produces a gift of strength. Surrender produces a gift of victory. Death produces a gift of life. But we got to unwrap it, right? So why don't you stand on your feet? When you get to know the giver of gifts, you will recognize the gifts in your life that are hidden under the all things. What if Joseph or Ruth had never unwrapped their all things gifts? There would be generations, there would be nations that would not be where they are today because of that. Our gifts are for more than just us. You're going to stay standing for just a second, and I'm sorry, but we can stand together. All things work together for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Can you just say purpose with me? That word purpose is the same word for showbread. In the tabernacle, to quote Pastor Caleb. There were 12 showbreads that actually weighed 60 to 75 pounds altogether. It's a lot of, once I found that out, I had to share that. That's a lot of weight for bread. And they would be on display in the tabernacle. And the priests, once a week on Shabbat, would go in on Sabbath and they would eat the bread as a communion with the Lord. And the showbread represented generosity, abundance, prosperity, that God is our provider and our resource. So every time the priests would go in, they would be saying to God, God, we recognize you are our resource, right? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? The house of bread. And in John 6, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the bread and the life of the world. You can either let your situation drive you away from God or to God, right? And when we start to realize that we can unwrap, and yes, I'm unwrapping a loaf of bread this morning, that lying in the messiest, most vulnerable spaces of our lives that feel like there's no room at all, God has put the resource, he has put his generosity, he has put his abundant life, because it says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life in John 10:10. Right in those spaces in your lives where all things is wrapping you up, God says, if you'll just unwrap it with me, if you'll just stop and pray with me, if you'll just put a worship song on instead of going to something that's actually giving you poison. If you will just unwrap what I have given to you and see beyond what your eyes can see, there is a resource, there is a life, there is a provision for you. And it's Jesus himself, because he is the bread of life. So God, right now we just thank you for the gift you have given all humanity. And I just bless every major situation in the lives represented here, every space in our lives that is messy, that is dirty, that is contradicting, that is confusing. I just bless you right now with the provision and the abundant life of Jesus. That in any area where the all things has tried to rob you and has tried to blind you from seeing what God is actually doing, that God would lift the blinders off and you would know you are called, you are named, you are God's. And he doesn't have the wrong number of your situation. He is calling you his daughter and his son this morning. And God, we just thank you for that truth. Father, would you show us what gifts we are missing that we're leaving under the tree of life, God, in our daily lives, at home, at work, at church, in our schools, in our commutes, whatever it is, God, would you open our eyes to see the hidden treasures that are in fragile clay jars in our lives? And would you remind us to not call it by the 20 tons of dirt that it sometimes feels like, but would you remind us to unwrap it and to see what you have hidden for us to discover that goodness and mercy can follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.